This is 5 o'clock shadow on the Pacifica Radio Network, originating at WBAI. In today's program, a review of the unbalanced United Nations General Assembly resolution that calls for Syria to desist in its internal defenses against a well-armed and highly funded jihadi invasion sponsored by the United States and its Arab allies. All that and more on 5 o'clock shadow. I'm Robert Knight in New York. This is 5 o'clock shadow on the Pacifica Radio Network. I'm Robert Knight in New York. Over the weekend, a remarkably biased resolution against Syria was passed in the United Nations General Assembly with 133 votes of the body's 193 members. But those numbers may be deceiving because the combined populations of the states not voting, either through abstention or voting no, not voting for the U.S., Qatari, and Saudi-supported measure, comprise more than half of the world's population. The resolution, fronted by Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and the so-called Arab group, follows a collapse of Security Council peace initiatives and condemns, quote, the increasing use by the Syrian authorities of heavy weapons, including indiscriminate shelling from tanks and helicopters in population centers and the failure to withdraw its troops and the heavy weapons to their barracks, end quote. Although the statement also disapproved of all violence, quote, irrespective of where it comes from, end quote, it did not expressly condemn the Saudi, Qatari, American, and NATO financing, arming, weaponizing, tactical operations, training, and covert operations that are daily flowing constantly across the Turkish border from Adana and from the Incirlik NATO American air base into the besieged nation of Syria. The resolution was introduced by the representative from Saudi Arabia. Earlier this month, Saudi Arabia presented the Syrian Contras with nearly $100 million in funding. Qatar has also provided training and armament for the extranational invaders of Syria. Here now is the introduction of the resolution by the delegate from Saudi Arabia.
Now give the floor to the distinguished representative of Saudi Arabia to introduce the draft resolution A/66/L57.
Thank you, Mr. President. Throughout the past month, Mr. Annan sought to achieve the most basic objectives, namely to stop the governmental killing machine, which has been slaughtering the courageous Syrian people, to stop the use of heavy weapons in assaulting and bombing residential neighborhoods, and allow the delivery of humanitarian assistance to hundreds of thousands of affected people. What was the response in return? For the six-point plan, six massacres were committed. Moreover, instead of protecting the international observers and facilitating their mission, the Syrian authorities left them endangered and their lives threatened, which led them to pull back and take refuge in their residences. As to the political solution, it was nowhere to be found. On the 11th of July, Mr. Annan delivered his report to the Security Council, in which he held the Syrian authorities primarily responsible for the deterioration of the situation, the continued violation of human rights, and the intensification of military action, including the use of heavy weapons. However, when Mr. Annan appealed to the Council to unanimously demand the Syrian government to fulfill its obligations and to be aware that the failure to comply will bear consequences, the Security Council's efforts were stalled by the doable veto, which gave an expression that the Council was turning a blind eye to the painful reality in Syria, that reality which has become a great threat to peace and security. With this in mind, the group of sponsoring states felt obligated to bring the matter before the GA, demanding that it uphold its responsibilities regarding the failure of the Security Council in dealing with the crisis. Accordingly, we are presenting to you the draft resolution A/66/L57 before you, which aims to reaffirm that the international community does not tolerate what is happening in Syria, does not accept the ongoing killings, persecution, and massacres, and that the time is now to start a peaceful transfer of power in order to achieve the aspirations of the Syrian people and to preserve the blood of their children. Moreover, this resolution aims to guarantee security, safety, and equality in rights and duties for all spectrum of the Syrian people of different ethnic, religious, and sectarian affiliations, in addition to asserting the joint international responsibility to provide protection to Syrian citizens and maintaining international peace and security. Excellencies, the recent developments of the Syrian crisis, namely the abandonment of Mr. Kofi Annan of his mission as an expression of his impotence that he felt after the Security Council failed to extend him the support, tools, and means necessary to the success of his mission. In addition to the violent attack by air forces and artillery, which the Syrian troops continue to launch against the city of Aleppo while branding it as the enemy, makes this action more important than ever before. Accordingly, we present to you today this draft resolution, being fully confident that the conscience of the world will not ignore the distress and cries of the Syrian people who faces the artillery and tanks with open chests. We urge you in the name of Baba Amr's children, the martyrs of Aleppo, and the Syrian men and women everywhere to uphold your humanitarian, moral, and historical responsibilities by voting with us in favor of this resolution.
The ambassador from Saudi Arabia to the United Nations introducing a resolution that would condemn Syria for using what the resolution refers to as heavy equipment in the defense of its territory against a massive foreign intervention funded by Saudi Arabia and supported and trained by Qatar. The Qatari president of the General Assembly then opened the debate, and Syria had an immediate reply and disputation to the Saudi resolution.
To consider draft resolution A/66/L57, entitled The Situation on the Syrian Arab Republic. Before giving the floor to the speakers on the explanation of vote before the vote, may I remind delegations that explanations of vote are limited to 10 minutes and should be made by delegations from their seats. I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of Syrian Arab Republic.
Sayyid Rais.
Mr. President, it is indeed a strange paradox that the states sponsoring this draft resolution are submitting it under item 34, entitled Prevention of Armed Conflict, when these same states had played the major role in the militarization of the situation in Syria and pushing it away from the desired political solution by providing weapons to the terrorist groups in Syria. This was something which you very well know was acknowledged by the foreign minister of France only 3 days ago when he said, and I quote, there are weapons being delivered to them, meaning to the armed groups, according to our information, from Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and other states, end of quote. Some of these same Western media outlets have confirmed that and have added that American anti-aircraft Stinger missiles have arrived via Turkey to these armed groups. Add to that that some of the sponsoring states of this draft resolution are leading a hysterical political, media, and intelligence campaign against my country, Syria, and are providing all forms of financial and logistical support to the armed terrorist groups and not to the honest and peaceful internal legitimate opposition. These states are also providing political and media coverage for the armed groups and are enforcing unilateral sanctions that not only conflict with the six-point plan, but also constitute an unjust and illegitimate siege against the Syrian nation in violation of relevant UN resolutions. This has escalated humanitarian situation on the ground, the same situation that some parties are grieving concerning them in their statements. If these same states, which are expressing their concern for humanitarian situation in Syria, were truly sincere in their concern, they would have allocated those billions of dollars that they are spending on the financing and arming of terrorist groups and on providing them with communication equipment and other lethal equipment, they would have allocated them for humanitarian assistance. It should be noted that all the promises given by these states about providing assistance, humanitarian assistance, was nothing but a distraction in order to make the Syrian government appear as the obstacle to these assistance. No one in Syria has seen any part of this assistance so far, even though an agreement was reached with the United Nations concerning the humanitarian response plan several months ago. At the same time, the biggest flaw is that some of the states sponsoring this Saudi draft resolution, such as Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and Bahrain, cannot in any shape or form be considered an oasis of democracy or the respect of human rights. Indeed, these states are governed by despotic oligarchies that do not hesitate in suppressing their people and killing peaceful protesters inside and outside their own boundaries. The situation of human rights and basic freedoms in these countries is considered one of the worst in the world, according to well-documented reports issued by international human rights and legal institutions and sources of opposition, Saudi and Qatari opposition in diaspora and within the countries. At the same time, the other part of the state sponsoring the draft resolution, in addition to being one of the greatest contributors deliberately in the deterioration of the situation in Syria, do not enjoy any credibility concerning abiding by the content of UN resolutions in light of previous experience, which had proven that these states manipulate and have manipulated many of these resolutions and have designed them to suit their own interests, so in order to grant themselves the excuse for military intervention in other states, using excuses such as the removal of mass destruction weapons, the protection of human rights, and the protection of civilians, and many the other important humanitarian principles, which were never, in fact, a true objective of these states, but were mere slogans employed in order to intervene in the affairs of other states and to change by force the systems of government there and to force these states into civil wars, sectarian conflicts, and chaos. In this respect, we would like to draw the attention of the member states to the danger of having this international organization under media and financial and political pressure by these same states provide a cover for the spread of the culture of religiously sanctioned or halal Irhab throughout the world, and in undermining stability and security there, or in having this organization contribute in the attempt of granting some kind of legitimacy on agendas that have shaken the confidence and trust of most member states in the rule of law at the international level, especially after the invasion of Afghanistan, Iraq, Libya, and the manipulation of the fate of many developing countries, especially in Africa. My country, Syria, has witnessed during this current crisis a series of suicide terrorist explosions. Additionally, relevant Syrian authorities have succeeded in arresting and in killing a large number of Arab and non-Arab terrorists belonging to Al-Qaeda and other Salafi and Wahhabi extremist groups associated ideologically and intellectually with Al-Qaeda. The paradox here, ladies and gentlemen, is that some countries which have declared continuously their denunciation of terrorism and of the activities of Al-Qaeda and have waged wars under that slogan are today overlooking or supporting directly or indirectly the increasing and growing terrorist activities of Al-Qaeda and of the other terrorist extremist groups in Syria in implementation of the slogan creative chaos. It is no longer a secret that some states have facilitated, have financed, and have incited the sending of terrorists to Syria from all over the world. In this light, we can understand how the sponsors of this draft resolution have deliberately avoided any reference to these terrorists in the draft resolution, because in doing so they would have denounced themselves before they have denounced the terrorists. Many of the Western countries which are combating what they call terror sleeping cells in their territory are at the same time awakening similar terror sleeping cells in Syria. Some Arab, regional, and international well-known states are carrying out a public and organized campaign of incitement and provocation for carrying out violence and terrorist acts in Syria. Even though we all know that all of our national penal laws of our member states stipulate that the instigator of a crime should be punished with the same punishment as the perpetrator. Also, the resolutions of the United Nations and international conventions, especially those that address criminal justice and combating terrorism, stipulate that states, groups, and individuals which incite violence and terrorism should be criminalized as well. Add to this the statement in the Holy Quran concerning incitement to murder and discord, where God says discord and internal dissension is worse than murder. So the question we all must address here is the intention of the draft resolution before us here today truly to implement national and international laws in order to hold accountable those involved in inciting terrorism and violence and causing the murder of Syrians, the destruction of their property, and the destruction of the infrastructure in the attempt to plant discord and internal fighting among the members of the same state? Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, it is not a surprise, according to the above, that today we find ourselves confronting a draft resolution that can be described at a minimum as a misleading and a hysterical draft resolution which violates the principles of international legitimacy wholesale, primarily the principle of the respect of national sovereignty and non-intervention in the internal affairs of other states. Therefore, it is clear that the adoption of this draft resolution will send the wrong message to the extremists and terrorists in Syria and outside, specifically that their terrorist acts, which they are carrying out as an alternative to dialogue and to the peaceful settlement of disputes, enjoy the support and encouragement of member states, this will escalate and increase violence and will support terrorism, not only in Syria but throughout the region. Terrorism will certainly reach those areas which have created and fostered terrorism, including some of the states which are sponsoring this draft resolution. Therefore, we request that the draft resolution contained in document A66/L57 be put to vote. And we call upon all states not to be an indirect partner in the support of chaos and terrorism and the intervention and the interference in the internal affairs of states and in the attempt to legitimize unilateral sanctions. We appeal to all of you to vote against this draft resolution for all the reasons explained above and in support for the principles we all uphold, including the sovereign equality of all states and the right of peoples to self-determination and to choose their political system free of any outside interference. We had expected from the delegation of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia to submit a draft resolution for the liberation of the Sanafir and Tiran Saudi islands occupied by Israel in the Red Sea, instead of focusing on manipulating the fate and the status of Palestinian refugees in Syria and in shedding crocodile tears over what they called, over what he called the blood of the Syrian nation, which we hold very dear to our hearts.
The response of the Syrian ambassador to the United Nations to the Saudi-introduced resolution that would call for Syria to stop using what are termed as heavy weapons in the defense of the largest city in Syria that is under siege by well-armed invaders who are being called rebels that are coming across the border from the Incirlik air base and Adana in Turkey to further attack the government inside Syria. Little noted in the General Assembly debate was the implicit march of regime change towards the Islamic Republic of Iran by way of disabling its Shia dominant and Alawite allies in the multicultural state of Syria. This is the Iranian response to the Saudi resolution.
I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of Islamic Republic of Iran.
Mr. President, in view of my delegation, the draft resolution is a deviation of all the efforts that are pursued at the international level for a peaceful resolution to the Syrian crisis. This draft is also a deviation of the principles enshrined in the Charter of the United Nations and the international law, which prohibit interference in the internal affairs of sovereign states. The draft echoes malicious desire of certain countries in toppling the government in Syria. This is an illegal action and condemnable by international law. It is only the Syrian people who should decide on their political fate. The draft resolution fails to address the disastrous consequences of different forms of foreign interventions. What have exacerbated the crisis in Syria are such interventions in terms of arms and sophisticated equipment that are sent across the borders to the rebels. This has added fuel onto the fire, leading to deepening of political and security crisis with all its ramifications to the region. In recent months, many terrorist attacks occurred in Syria, the latest of which took the lives of a number of high officials in Damascus. The armed groups' operations in Aleppo in the last couple of days have already left a heavy toll in human life and property. The draft fails to hold armed groups and terrorist groups led by Al-Qaeda accountable for their activities and falls short of condemning foreign interferences and acts of violence by terrorists. It is clear who are behind arming and financing the armed groups and terrorist groups in Syria, some of whom are regrettably among the sponsors of the resolution. The draft encourages the member states to impose sanctions against Syria at a time that the people in affected areas are in dire need of basic living necessities. The call for sanctions constitutes a collective punishment against the Syrian people. What is needed instead is a call on states to freeze any armed, financial, and logistical support to armed groups in Syria. We regret very much that Mr. Kofi Annan decided to end his work by the end of this month. We, of course, understand the reasons for his decisions and arduous position he faced in advancing his mission. This is not a hidden fact that after the recent meetings of the Security Council, some permanent members rushed to pronounce the mission of the Special Envoy as dead and indicated that they would immediately pursue other means than the Security Council to overthrow the government in Syria. This approach is a blatant interference in Syrian internal affairs. We hope that Mr. Kofi Annan follows rigorously for the rest of remaining days of his office to pursue the goal of finding a peaceful political settlement to the Syrian crisis. We wish also that his replacement would work along the same line and within the same mandate, which is finding a non-violent solution to the crisis. It is only through such a process that a broader political reconciliation, national unity, public order, stability, and prosperity are realizable for the Syrian people. We are very concerned about the regional consequences of the continuation of violence and any violation of Syrian sovereignty and territorial integrity. We encourage the political parties to engage in political dialogue with the Syrian government in order to find a peaceful political process. In this regard, we reiterate our readiness to host talks between the Syrian government and opposition parties. As we stated on other occasions, Syria has historically played an important role in the Middle East. Prolonged instability and unrest in Syria would have adverse consequences to the peace and stability in the Middle East region. We should all work together for a comprehensive, effective, and practical way to help bring a peaceful resolution of the present crisis in Syria. The resolution, despite some changes in the language, is still an unbalanced and one-sided resolution and does not reflect the reality of the situation in Syria and conveyed a wrong message on behalf of this assembly. We are therefore not in a position to support this draft and we will vote against it.
The Iranian representative to the General Assembly of the United Nations. In the Western Hemisphere, the nation of Cuba had the following response in which names were named about clandestine operations against nations.
The distinguished representative of Cuba.
Señor Presidente.
Mr. President, Cuba will vote against draft resolution contained in document A/66/L57. We will do so because we believe that nothing helps to resolve the situation existing today in the sisterly Arab Republic of Syria. On the contrary, this can lead to higher levels of instability and violence. It is a draft resolution which is biased and tackles in a biased way what is happening today in that country, and which therefore can even open the road for foreign military intervention, of which we've already had baleful experiences in the recent past. Cuba believes that we need a cessation of all acts of violence, massacres, as well as terrorist actions which take a toll of innocent life in Syria. For this purpose, we must have a cessation of the transfer of weapons and money to the insurgency groups, as well as their training, which without any concealment have become a daily practice of the government of the United States and its European allies in order to defeat by force sovereign governments. This is the clearest manifestation of a change of regime policy which is prevailing today in Washington as well as other NATO capitals. We must also have a cessation of the media manipulation. We view with concern how the Western news emporia, without any problem, are tackling the situation in Syria for political purposes, which incites to more and more brutal bloodshed. We cannot equivocate. Cuba condemns the death of innocent people wherever this may occur. And Cuba also condemns foreign interference in the internal affairs of states. Cuba has always supported, and today we reiterate this fact, the right of the Syrian people for the full exercise of self-determination and sovereignty without foreign manipulation or intervention of any kind.
The Cuban contribution to the debate over the weekend at the United Nations General Assembly on Resolution A/66/L.57, a resolution that would condemn the nation of Syria in its internal military self-defense and militia defense against using, quote, heavy weapons, quote, against international invaders that are now armed with what are reported to be at least a dozen surface-to-air missiles, heavy armaments, personnel carriers, tanks, and other equipment and materiel provided by NATO, the United States, Qatar, and Saudi Arabia, the presenter of this resolution. This is 5 O'Clock Shadow on the Pacifica Radio Network, originating at WBAI. I'm Robert Knight in New York, and South Africa's delegate contributed to the debate a most perplexing Orwellian reversal of rhetorical logic, in which the delegate did allow that the resolution presented from Saudi Arabia on behalf of the Arab group was an inadequate one and an unbalanced resolution. And yet, nevertheless, the South African delegate announced that his nation would, in any case, vote for it, just as South Africa did vote for enabling legislation in the United Nations Security Council preceding the invasion of Libya. The South African delegate asserted the General Assembly should speak with one voice, even if out of both sides of its mouth.
I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of South Africa.
Mr. President, South Africa deplores the violence and the tremendous loss of life in Syria, which is spiraling fast out of control. We are alarmed by the latest developments on the ground. The increase in the levels of violence being perpetrated by both sides, including the use of heavy weapons, is shocking and should be condemned. In this climate, the resignation of the Joint Special Envoy is regretted. My delegation joins others in conveying our deepest sympathy to the Syrian people for the significant loss of life and mass displacement of the population. We appreciate the efforts of regional actors, including the League of Arab States, and those of the UN agencies and the International Committee of the Red Cross Crescent, in assisting to alleviate the suffering of the civilian population. We remind this assembly that the International Committee of the Red Cross and Red Crescents recently classified the situation in Syria as meeting the conditions of an internal armed conflict. The United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights also stated that there are indications that the situation in Syria, at least in certain areas, may amount to a non-international armed conflict, thus entailing obligations on both sides under international law. Under such conditions, all parties have responsibilities and obligations under international humanitarian law. Furthermore, in a complex, divided society such as Syria, there can be no military solution. Ultimately, the parties in Syria will have to negotiate a settlement. The question is whether they do so now or after a bloody and protracted war. We are therefore deeply disappointed that the Security Council was not able to apply pressure to both sides to bring an end to the violence and to comply with their respective obligations under the six-point plan. The only way to achieve a solution reflective of the will of the people of Syria is through an all-inclusive political process. Mr. President, we support the idea of the General Assembly speaking with one voice through a resolution. However, we maintain that the resolution before us could have been much more balanced to accurately reflect the actual situation on the ground. The resolution should have been clearer in recognizing that there are two or more sides to the Syrian crisis. An unbalanced resolution by this assembly may be viewed as supporting one side over the other. South Africa reiterates that there are obligations on all parties to cease the violence and to comply with the six-point plan. While bearing in mind that the Syrian government bears the primary responsibility to halt violence, the resolution is not strong enough on its call on the armed opposition groups to refrain from violence and to comply with the requirements under the six-point plan. Mediation efforts in conflict situations are not served by merely pressurizing one side of a conflict. The Secretary General has yesterday said that the UN remains committed to pursue through diplomacy an end to violence and a Syrian-led solution that meets the legitimate democratic aspirations of its people. Additionally, the Joint Special Envoy himself, a few weeks ago, requested the Security Council to send a strong message to all parties that there would be consequences for their non-compliance with the six-point plan. South Africa supports stern action by the United Nations in support of this process, in line with the recommendations of the Joint Special Envoy, to ensure that a message is sent to all sides that they should engage with the envoy's mediation process. Despite our misgivings on some aspects of the text, and in light of the urgency to resolve the Syrian crisis, we believe that it is necessary for the United Nations to speak with one voice in taking action. I thank you.
The South African delegate to the United Nations General Assembly voting with one voice, along with the United States, as it did in the event of the pre-invasion of Libya during its presidency of the Security Council. Also contributing to the debate was the nation of Bolivia.
I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of plurinational state of Bolivia.
Gracias, señor presidente.
Thank you, Mr. President. The delegation of the plurinational state of Bolivia would like to explain here in the General Assembly the reasons for which we will reject in our vote the draft resolution we are discussing. The people of Syria is living through times of bloodshed and pain. No one in this room can remain indifferent in the face of the suffering of a population trapped between two sides. It is the duty of the UN to help these people and prevent a humanitarian crisis. We all agree that Syria is an open wound that must be cured as soon as possible. This is no longer a regional or local matter. It has become a matter whose gravity reaches out to all of us. While the UN has to act, however, there are clear limits, and they are clearly defined by the United Nations Charter, which in its Article 2 points that there should be no intervention in matters that are essentially of the internal or within the internal jurisdiction of a state. Bolivia believes that the draft resolution we are discussing clearly runs counter Article 2 of the UN Charter. That is why we will reject this draft. In any event, Mr. President, we also hope that we'll have a possibility to debate the situation in Syria here, albeit for a few minutes. Initially, we must say, how can the UN really contribute to the solution of that crisis in Syria? And would like to discuss it. We believe, however, that this draft resolution simply makes the problems worse. With all due respect for those who support it, Bolivia believes that the draft resolution in A66L57 takes the wrong path. this resolution, if adopted, will not contribute to a solution. On the contrary, it could result in an intensification of the problems. The main concern of this resolution is not to quell violence, but to defeat the Damascus government. Whoever doesn't believe that, take a look. On 14 occasions, this draft accuses the government of Syria of committing the worst possible crimes, massacre, killings, prosecutions, disappearances, impeding medical attention, torture, sexual violence, and so on. We are shown here a government that is savagely and indiscriminately attacking its civilian population. As I said, while 14 times this text accuses the Syrian government of multiple crimes, it only mentions once in a negative way the opposition in that country, stating that it might have committed some abuses of human rights. Not a word on the terrorist attack which put an end to the Syrian foreign minister on 18 July, and not a word on the clandestine coming of weapons from abroad, or the free Syrian armament, which is generously provided for from outside to defeat the government of Damascus. Nothing on Al-Qaeda or other terrorists. Nothing on the germs of a civil war which is extremely well fed from outside, and nothing about the arrival in Syria of terrorist contingents ready to impose an Islamic status upon Syria. There is no state machinery doing away with this population in Syria. What we have is an armed confrontation between regular state forces and non-state forces aided from abroad. This draft does not really mention that reality. It doesn't say, for instance, how peace can be arrived at in Syria once the so-called political transition is set up, and we don't see how we will not get into a sectarian war inflaming the entire region. It doesn't tell us how Syria can fall in the dangers of Iraq after Saddam Hussein's departure, nor do we know who would fill the gap of power in Syria. Syria is not part of the Arab Spring. On the contrary, it seems to be in the grip of a civil war, and the United Nations shouldn't contribute to that. Let's not fool ourselves. This resolution, as I say, is mainly aimed at defeating the Damascus government. If you don't believe it, read it. In an unacceptable fashion, this draft mentions 8 times the need to promote a new government and a transition to that new government. Not only does it tell the Syrian people what it must do, but it gives them the exact recipe, a democratic, multi-party, pluralistic government. And it asks the General Assembly to welcome the unity and cohesion of the opposition forces. Finally, we regret the fact that this has been brought before the General Assembly in this manner, that is, after the Security Council has failed in its own consideration. This is not appropriate, and it's being done very hurriedly before seeking due consensus in 3 days only without listening to all viewpoints. Is this the love of democracy on the part of those who say they are their main defenders? Is that the way of teaching the Syrian people what democracy is and which they should have? Because of the content and the form in which this is being adopted, Bolivia will reject draft resolution A/66L57. Along the same lines, we call upon countries, members of the Mercosur, what was decided on the 29 July last by our heads of states, who said that the principles for resolving the crisis in Syria should be dialogue, political negotiation, respect for human rights and sovereignty, and non-intervention in the free determination of peoples as well as territorial integrity. Thank you.
The Bolivian delegate to the United Nations General Assembly. One additional note, there was also included in the response to the Saudi resolution to prevent Syria from using heavy weapons in its own defense. There was an additional comment by the Syrian ambassador to the UN who noted that he himself and his family had been targeted with hate campaigns and murder threats, some of them promulgated through Qatar and Saudi Arabia and in various social media. We'll hear now those comments.
The incitement to murder, ladies and gentlemen, has reached a level where Saudi and Qatari media are no longer satisfied with targeting my country, but have targeted me personally and members of my family in an immoral way, unethical way, and a shameful way. And I'm standing here proud to defend the interests of my nation against all conspiracies against my nation, no matter what they are. Things have reached the point where the media of Saudi Arabia and Qatar have attacked me personally in special programs, several hours long, and fabricated lies and false statements to distort the reputation of members of my family, and have used social media sites to incite the killing of Syrians inside and outside Syria. Is this how we combat terrorism? Is this how diplomatic work is carried out? Is this what diplomacy is all about? Ladies and gentlemen, you are all ambassadors defending the interests of your countries, but diplomacy is one thing, and having members of your family be targeted for that is something else entirely, and I leave that to your conscience, all of you. I add to that, having several threats of murder against me and various Syrian diplomats from sites in Saudi Arabia, in Qatar, and in the United States. Mr. President of the General Assembly, allow me to conclude by saying that you have taken a pre-arranged position vis-à-vis this resolution in form and content. We find this in violation of Article 106 of the internal rules of the GA, which requires that the president of the GA should be neutral and should carry out the meeting without intervention in any draft resolution. But you, unfortunately, have violated this provision perhaps for the 10th time during your presidency.
The Syrian ambassador to the United Nations General Assembly explaining what happens sometimes when covert warfare and regime change becomes highly personalized, even in a body that claims to represent diplomatic processes. The United Nations General Assembly voting for an unbalanced resolution that condemns the nation of Syria for, quote, the increasing use of heavy weapons, including indiscriminate shelling from tanks and helicopters in population centers, and the failure to withdraw its troops and the heavy weapons to their barracks, with no comparable declamation against the Contras that are being armed by the proposer, Saudi Arabia, and funded by Qatar and being trained by the United States. This is 5 o'clock shadow. I'm Robert Knight in New York, and we make note of the 60-some nations that opposed this resolution, which was passed by a margin of 133 votes out of the 193-member body. Among those voting absent as a form of protest in many cases, Cambodia, Congo, Democratic Republic of the Congo, Dominica, Equatorial Guinea, Ethiopia, Gambia, Kiribati, Malawi, Philippines, South Sudan, Swaziland, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, Tuvalu, Uzbekistan, Yemen. Abstaining were Algeria, Angola, Antigua and Barbuda, Armenia, Burundi, Ecuador, Eritrea, Fiji, Ghana, Guyana, India, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, the Lao People's Democratic Republic, Lebanon, Lesotho, Madagascar, Mali, Namibia, Nepal, Pakistan, St. Lucia, St. Vincent and the Grenadines, Samoa, Sierra Leone, Solomon Islands, Sri Lanka, Suriname, Uganda, and the United Republic of Tanzania and Vietnam. And voting explicitly against this resolution, Belarus, Bolivia, China, Cuba, the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, Iran, Myanmar, Nicaragua, the Russian Federation, Syria, of course, Venezuela, and Zimbabwe. And that concludes today's edition of 5 O'Clock Shadow, which was engineered by Michael G. Haskins and produced with Thiago Barroso. We welcome your comments leaks, tips, suggestions, and questions with an email to theshadow@wbai.org, theshadow@wbai.org. And for 5 o'clock Shadow, I'm Robert Knight in New York, and we conclude with this song about invasion by Chumbawamba.
You're next.